Boom, shakalaka boom. It's hour two of the Realist Show on Radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards. Unless the body snatchers have got me. Get away from me, P. Diddy. Get away from me. No, not that hole. You tuned in into the... Sorry. Thought I saw P. Diddy behind me. You tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice, your daily dose of reality radio. Whew. This segment brought to you by... That was a close one. Saw a shadow. The segment brought to you... I probably shouldn't read a sponsor's ad after that, but hey, breaking rules when necessary. Pure Air Consultants. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary of delivering exceptional heating and cooling systems to Central Mississippi. And they want to offer you a rare gift. A free labor warranty for 5 years. Are you tired of expensive heating, furnace repairs, or high utility bills? Specialties at Pure Air Consultants include fixing anything and everything involved with your HVAC, heating, or cooling. It's about to get warm outside. I'm already down to sleeping. I've got to break this habit. I am sleeping with the air conditioner on 62 degrees in my house. And I live by myself, by the way, most of the time. And I just made a $300 power bill yesterday. And it is only March. I may have to move my bedroom to the living room or figure out a way to get some more air back there. Maybe I need to call Pure Air Consultants to get another vent ran back there. Anyway, they got you covered. They're going to extend you a 5-year labor warranty as well. They have financing available. MyPureAirConsultants.com to contact them. That's MyPureAirConsultants.com. They use Rheem equipment. That's Rheem, a new degree of comfort. All right, guys, I don't do a whole lot of guests that I don't personally know. We don't do a lot of call-ins, but every now and then you get the opportunity to interview smart people. And when you get a chance to talk to smart people, you try to make it a point to listen to what they have to say. We got author Joel Gusarian. He wrote a book called The Practical MBA on Economics, What They Do and Don't Teach You at Business School, and The Guerrilla Guide for Entrepreneurs. And today we're going to talk about the cost of wokeism and AI and the future of propaganda. Joe, you there, brother?
I'm there. I'm here, and thank you for having me on your show, Clay.
Mate, well, thank you for getting up and doing some morning radio with me. How are you doing today?
Very good. It's a fine morning.
Well, look, tell people a little bit about yourself, and let's get the ball rolling, man. I would love to really jump into the cost of wokeism as our first topic.
Oh, you want to get into wokeism? Okay. You better sit at the edge of your seat for this one. I am an entrepreneur. I'm in the health and beauty care industry. I've worked as a professor, and I've published two books, the last one was The Practical MBA on Economics. And the current one that should be out this summer is called The Guerrilla Guide for Entrepreneurs. So in that book, I combined all my business experience and put it together with some academic and mashed it, and I worked as a professor for about 2.5 years in college.
Let me interrupt you for one second. Yeah, The Guerrilla Guide to Entrepreneur. I love that. That's what I've always... I owned nightclubs, and I'm just a self-promoter, kind of the P.T. Barnum of Jackson, Mississippi, so to say. And I've always referred to it as guerrilla marketing and really having to get out there, break the mold, become a brand, all that type stuff. I've always referred to what I do as guerrilla marketing, so I find the title of that next book very intriguing.
Oh, cool. Glad you like that. Yeah, it's a little bit... But just putting the finishing touches. It's written, but pain of editing is the toughest part of creating any book, I've always found. So, yeah. So there we are. We're doing stuff, and I'm on your station with you. And where do you want to start? Do you want to start on artificial intelligence and unemployment and universal basic income and the... You tell me.
You said you did some homework and got your stuff ready. Whatever order you're ready to go in, I'm ready.
Sure. Okay. Well, I wanted to touch, if you allow me, on artificial intelligence, its effects on unemployment, universal basic income, and I'm sure these words have been used because, its implications for the end of individual freedom and democracy as we know it. And I'm just going to go through a few things here off the top of my head. 21% of Americans receive some form of welfare, housing, food stamps, Medicare, so on and so forth. So there's some form of association with government and some of the programs. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm not going to be judgmental there.
70% of the people that live in Jackson, Mississippi, where we're based out of, 70%, this was 10 years ago, 70% are on some type of government assistance or another.
Yes, and that's not a long-term sustainability for a healthy community, long-term. And look, we understand people need help sometimes, and that's what we're there. We're all humans, and we're a good community, and so on and so forth. But when you got, and you're going to add this up, you've got 21% overall, I'm just going to go nationally, that receive some type of government interface here. There's also 14% of the American workforce, approximately 22 million people, work for the government. So what I'm trying to get at is if I'm trying to run for office, and I'm, you know, Joe, whoever, and, well, that's my name, but off the top of my head, off the top, I've got 21 and 14% of the votes. I've got 35% there. More than likely, if I give them lots of, if I give them something for nothing, they're going to vote for me. But it gets a little bit better. The best experts that I've spoken to and the best research I've done is you're going to look at anywhere from 30 to 40% of jobs will disappear due to artificial intelligence. And that's a bald statement, but that statement needs to be facilitated. For example, driving accounts for 12% of employment. Retail sales workers are close, and driving meaning 16 million people, either through Uber, your trucks, your construction, so on and so forth. So artificial intelligence will park your trucks a lot better than we can as humans. Then retail workers are the next ones. Even if you studied computer, and specifically you had an advanced degree in mathematics, that's 4.9 people. Their jobs are in danger. If you're a junior attorney, in the old days, you know, you could bill out at $250 for your junior attorney. They just started out in your firm, and they're, you know, apprentices, for lack of a better word. And you pay them $25-$30. So if you worked, let's say, on a court case to prepare for the senior attorney for 30-40 hours, you could get maybe a $6,000-$8,000 billing. That can be done on AI in about a minute. Then you get an attorney to massage it for a couple of hours. So that's going to affect junior attorneys.
Yeah, I heard that. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I hate to interrupt, but I like to have conversations more so than just listen.
Sure.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said the exact same thing. They said it's not going to take too much longer to upload every court case in history, and then you're going to have an AI judge too, and they're just going to be like, okay, this is what happened. Here's the potential outcomes. Here's the outcome for this one, and you could dang near eliminate the need for a large amount of attorneys. I don't want to pick a particular number. I don't know, but it sounds like a lot of your lower end paper pushing types, they're not going to have a need for that. Your entry level guys. And inevitably, that's going to affect the top level. When you quit creating new stars, you're left with nothing.
Yeah, exactly, and especially the articling stage. You know, so today, you know, if you got sued and it was the 15-page lawsuit, you can pump that into AI and say, give me a full solid defense based on all available, and I'm not an attorney, available legal codes that I could use as a defense, and it'll just, you know, knock your brains out. But so I kind of building up in people's minds here and your listeners saying, okay, these are the jobs that are going to be gone. So that's one argument. But then what's going to be happening is when all these jobs are gone, government will come in, of course, you know, to add to their litany of failures. They're going to go, okay, we've got the holy grail here. We're going to introduce universal basic income. And what it will mean is, you know, all the inequities, we're going to take you away from economic apartheid, and we're going to give you full egalitarianism, meaning equity. Everyone's going to be even because we're going to give people money for staying at home. Work will become a blasphemous relic on UBI. It'll be sold as the promised land, if you will. And it'll free us from the inconvenience of having purpose in life. And you see, once I put enough people on UBI, the next thing comes on board. You're probably going to ask me, or someone's going to ask me, how are you going to pay for all this? And I've kind of thought that through, too.
Well, people are still going to – the sad thing is, though, we're still going to have everything we have now. We're not – we're still going to have to – there's still going to have to be worker bees. And I guess they'll just be slaves.
Yes, there'll be less worker bees, that's for sure. And I'm not saying it'll take away every job, not just yet. But, you know, we're not on artificial intelligence to the point right now where it can think on its own. It's still programmed. But I mean, when we start getting into level four artificial intelligence, and there's been a lot of professors that have talked about this, it's going to start inferring, meaning it's going to start thinking on its own. We're not at that stage. And I don't even want to go there because that could be, oh, quite interesting. So what will then happen is government will jump in. Who do we tax? And you're seeing it right now in Silicon Valley. It's basically they're oligarchs in Silicon Valley. And you're seeing it in Wall Street as well. And what they'll do is they'll turn around, we're going to tax those darn greedy trillion-dollar corporations. You mean, Clay, the ones that turn around and give us our donor funds for so we can get elected? Yes, those ones there. So they will pit the underclass against the large corporations, and we're going to go, we're going to tax those corporations. So the corporations, the large ones, we're talking the Googles of the world and so forth, will get taxed heavily, relatively speaking. But in turn of that, what they'll get is they'll have monopoly financial power. So they'll have higher profitability. You tax them, and you placate the plebeians, if you will, and just give them universal basic income. They can watch a bit of Netflix, drink whatever they want, watch, I don't know, Godzilla versus Bambi, you know, I don't know, whatever's on television there.
You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy.
You'll be happy. Just like in the Roman Colosseum, after you fought in the military, and you know, you would be given some coins, and you could watch the gladiators fight with the lions and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, we got a sample of this during COVID, clearly. I remember working at the car dealership I was at, and the owner came to us. It was at the beginning. He was like, hey, look, I understand if some of you guys don't want to work, if you're scared, if you're whatever. Some guys chose to go home. I stayed, really only made a couple hundred extra bucks a week to stay versus just sitting at home and maybe exploring entrepreneurial avenues, which in hindsight being 2020, I sort of wish I had done. Maybe I would have been moved up the ladder over here faster, but that's neither here nor there. A lot of people, they left the workforce for that universal basic income, and we have not recovered from that. We've seen that this business model, regardless of where the money comes from, it doesn't work because people still need things, and there has to be people to work to give it to them. Who's going to fix the food? Who's going to change the oil? Who's going to build the cars? Who's going to work on our houses? Who's going to do anything? The biggest problem I see online every day and talking to business owners selling advertising, nobody can find people that want to work. One guy I know hired 12 people last week. He's a general contractor. Not one person showed up.
Once you give people free things, you're industrious, and I'm sure you have a lot of people around you that are industrious, and I'm sure you have a lot of listeners that are industrious. You know, we need purpose in life, and work really defines a lot of purpose in our lives, like it or not. So once I get you away and you have no purpose in life, I can mold you the way I want to mold you. And you see, it just like, I don't want to get fancy here, but, you know, once we turn into, you know, we're going to go into wokeism later, but once we turn into this neo-totalitarian state, you know, it's going to deliver its subjects, its citizenry, away from the burdens of freedom. That's too much for them.
Hold that thought. We got to take a commercial break.
Sure.
We'll come back through the break. We got Joe Gilisarian on the phone with us. We are discussing the cost of wokeism and AI, universal basic income. And these are all things, it's a lot of big words. These are all things that are going to be affecting all of us a lot sooner than you may think. We'll be right back on The Clay Edwards Show. The Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by Burgers, Blues, Barbecue. All three locations. Downtown Brandon, right there on West Government Street. Check out the little dive bar, the B3, the huge patio out back, or maybe just a family-friendly restaurant right there. Everything available for to-go and delivery, of course. Hey, also, the Madison location, the Flowood location there at Dogwood, they serve breakfast too. So you're out riding around this morning, you just got to the office, you're hungry, run on over there. Try the chicken and waffles, the pancakes, the homemade, hand-battered biscuits and fried chicken, the chicken biscuit. Thank me later. burgersblues.com for all your delivery information. I think they're available on Take a Break Deliveries and, of course, Carry Out. And they have two food trucks to handle all of your special event needs. And don't forget, catering, they got you covered from 5 to 5,000 people. Burgers, Blues, Barbecue. Three great locations serving you right here in Central Mississippi. Downtown Madison, Dogwood in Flowood, and downtown Brandon. Burgersblues.com. All right, man, let's get back to our guest here. We've got Joe Gilisarian discussing the woke economics, basically, and AI and universal basic income. Joe, thank you, brother, for staying on hold there.
How are you doing, Clay?
I'm doing good. I think we kind of left off there at UBI. We were talking about universal basic income and worker bees,
right,
and whatnot.
Right. So the idea is once I bring universal basic income, you're going to have a one-party state. In other words, both parties are going to basically their debate will be how much more can I give and how much more money can I print before I bankrupt the whole scheme. But I was going back to, well, how do we come up with the money? We tax the corporations. So now you have monopoly corporations. You have corporations growing, corporations joining the government at the hip. And we're already seeing this in Silicon Valley, your media in the United States. And I'm not going to go into the MSM right now. It's self-evident what they're doing. And once they get together as part of this cabalotocracy, which I discussed in my economics book, you have the quintessential definition of tyranny and fascism. And there's no example where, you know, they have to be separate. And you're seeing an example of this right now with TikTok. The government is saying, oh, well, we're going to decide who's going to buy it. That's communism. That's state-controlled capitalism. And they're doing exactly the same thing as China does. China has a large government living off the avails of the industrious, meaning people who can produce. Now, you're going to go, what's going to happen to the small companies? Well, a lot of large, they'll still be around, some of them. A lot of large corporations will go, we're not interested in that tiny $50, $100 million or $1 billion industry. Someone else can have it. We'll feed them the scraps. And as long as the small companies go along with the script that's being provided by government and you know, the rest of the cabalotocracy, some of them will thrive. And so, yeah, there we are. That's the scenario I see. And then the next thing that'll come will be simultaneously will be CBDC, which basically is central bank digital currency. And once I put you on that, and I find out...
That's the one that scares me the most. That's the one. That's their electric car. That's their being able to cut you off your Chinese social credit score. That's where they tie all this into one big nice... New World Order circle for us. You said you have wrong think. You went for the wrong. You like Donald Trump. You can't like Donald Trump. You're anti-LGBTQ, or you don't think men should be able to use women's restroom. We're cutting off your income. We're cutting off your Tesla. You can't go nowhere. You're a prisoner. Your smart home technology. We're cutting it all off.
Well, it's going to be like when my dad took the car keys off me when I was a teenager and said, you can't borrow my car. And I got over it eventually. I'm okay now. That was a long time ago. But seriously, though.
I'm still
right.
Angry about it.
And let's say you bought an Alex Jones book, or you particularly bought a book that had that didn't meet the orthodoxies of what people want, and you associate it with the wrong people. These are all social credit scores. And, you know, if you don't comply and I freeze your account. It happened in Canada. I'm in Canada. It happened in Canada. You saw when the truckers came to Ottawa about 2 years ago and they protested the mandates for masks and I think even for vaccines. With no court trials, they seized bank accounts. If you even donated to them, your account was seized. So it's all part of a cabalotocracy. It's just a bit too long to get into on this particular show. But it's all interwoven. It's all interwoven.
Oh,
well, the MSM is working with government.
I saw yesterday where our government forced YouTube to give them the information of 30,000 different people who viewed a video on YouTube that they didn't like. 30,000 people. Now the federal government knows what video they watched on YouTube. And this is where I go back to this TikTok ban nonsense. Okay, great, we're going to ban TikTok. Yeah. I'm way, way more concerned about the California communists that run big tech than I am China. They've already proven they'll sell us all down the river.
Oh, yeah. They're, you know, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, when Elon Musk, there's a few people that are not reading off the script of the cabalitocracy, and I think I need to explain the cabalitocracy very, very shortly here, and it was in my book. It's the interwoven relationship between government, the intelligence agencies, corporations, Hollywood, media, the World Economic Forum, the WHO, academia, universities, because, you know, if you're going to have tyranny or you're going to have government, what do you really need? You need a monopoly on education, and you need a monopoly on propaganda, and they're doing well. So when these forces all come together, and you've got some rebels like Elon Musk, every newspaper, and I read Wall Street Journal, some of the other papers, every newspaper has subliminally put inserts to attack Elon Musk. EV car sales have slowed down. Elon Musk has a particular behavioral problem with, you know, taking substances. These kind of things here, because he's not reading off the cabalitocracy script. And I'll give you an example. He had to unload over 170 ex-FBI agents that were working at Twitter X when he jumped in. So, you know, he's not reading off the script. Donald Trump in his first presidency was not reading off the script. For a while, even it could be argued that RFK is not reading off the script. He wrote a book against the particular vaccine mandates, one which I read. He's not reading off the script. So, you know, we can go on with many more people. You know, you must read off the script. You must be part of the orthodoxy, or you'll have to be punished.
That's clearly what's going on. I mean, they are punishing Elon. You know, that's where they're
absolutely.
This TikTok thing is a backdoor way to ban to force Elon to sell X too. That's the language in that thing. They could say it isn't. I read it. That's clearly the language. If they decide you, quote unquote, interfered with an election, or basically you cost the Democrats an election, you are now forced to sell your platform.
Yes. Yes. And you know, this kind of borders on wokeism there, and you're correct. And Silicon Valley did interferes with all elections in the last 10, 15 years. They interfere with all elections. They are ideologues. They are compromised. They have intelligence agencies working with them. There's no intelligence agency that could keep up with the technology that Silicon Valley or in India that Bangalore has or some of the other stuff out there. So they work with it. In fact, some of this technology was lent to the Chinese in order to create their social credit scores and their surveillance society. And the best surveillance in the world is always the cameras that the British use. And, you know, they basically know where everybody's going. So, yeah, that's the world we're jumping into. But once I've got you on UBI, and I'm generally feeding you, and I can, you know, shut your bank account down very quickly. If you're not, and I, by the way, I can put money in your account, and we want to create what we called demand creation. And this month we have to all buy white loaves of bread. Next month we all have to buy, let's say, guitars. And if you don't buy the guitar, because we intend to sell as government 50,000 guitars in the next month across the United States, that money I put for you is gone. So I take it out of your account. Either buy the guitar, or I'll pull the money out. Either buy that loaf of bread that I told you, the particular brand, or I'll pull your money out. So that's what how they'll create demand formation. I mean, it's all having. And like in my book, I talk about large government. They're not going to kill capitalism like Chairman Mao did in China in the Cultural Revolution. They're going to live off the avails of it. And that's what they're doing now. Because, you know, they're creative at this kind of stuff. So, yeah. That's all you do. Give people free stuff. They'll vote for you, and then you know they'll sit there. And anytime anyone opposes it, they go, "We're protecting democracy," so on and so forth. And you know, the Greeks had trepidations about democracy 2,000 years ago, but we won't go there.
Joe, look, in closing, I gotta cut this short. Tell people how to find you, your book, all of that stuff.
Well, I can be found on the internet. My book is The Practical MBA on Economics. I'm on, I have a Twitter account. I have a YouTube station as well. And that's probably the best way. And yeah, I'm also on LinkedIn as well under my personal name. So if you look up Practical MBA, I'm all over Google, and it's not too hard to find me from there.
Brother, I appreciate you taking the time this morning. I learned a lot, and we'll do this again here soon.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show, Clay. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Joe. Have a blessed day.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye. All right, let's take a break, come back, hit the reset button, and get back to doing what we do here on The Clay Edwards Show.